Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Series 17. Welcome back, everybody. Our first guest episode of the series. But before we start...
Can I get one of them first?
Oh, yeah, of course you can.
Make it a good one, lads.
Cheers. Cheers.
Cheers, John Boy.
All the best, big dog.
Before we start, I think we should say a massive thank you for all the support from the Patreons going into this 17th series. I don't think without the Patreons we'd be on series 17, so we want to say thank you.
I can guarantee we won't be doing this if we didn't have the Patreon.
No. I mean, there's a lot of... companies out there that have got big production things and big teams behind them, but there's just us, isn't there? Just us four.
Just us four.
So we do appreciate it.
Chamming up and down the country. I mean, you've got fucking Roy Keane and his mob.
it's unwritten rule. Mob? Don't mention anybody else, any mob? Other podcast. Have you noticed that?
Oh, yeah. Not allowed, I wish.
Forbidden.
Apparently, Lee Sharp did an interview recently. Fuck off, right? We're on ours. You know we're on ours.
Why you knew it were right.
Just fucking say his name right.
You knew it were right.
But no, genuinely, if it weren't for the Patreons, we wouldn't still be doing it. It wouldn't be feasible to do it, would it?
No, so we want to say a massive thank you to the Patreons before we get kicked off.
If you don't know what it is, for a few quid a month...
In case we want some more Patreon.
Chris
is going to keep you updated on what's involved.
It's about £3 a month.
£3 a month.
It's one coffee a month.
For two extra episodes, release fortnightly. I've got a couple of facts if you're interested.
Oh, go on, facts, stats.
Last year alone, 180 hours of that word that I don't like.
Content.
And over 62 clubs are featured last year alone. On these Patreon episodes. Alone. Never mind the other...
So if you joined Patreon tomorrow, like we said, it was that £3, you'd have all them 100 and how many?
120 episodes.
To go at back catalogue, so you can binge.
So basically what the main message is thank you for supporting us, Patreons, because if it weren't for you, we wouldn't be knocking the free ones out, would we? So it's a massive, massive thank you to your Patreons. Very much appreciated.
Yeah, we really do appreciate it. We're looking forward.
Good episode.
By
the way, we started season 16 with a banger, Lee Sharp.
Yeah.
And I think we might, definitely on par, maybe topped it.
Mm. Ooh, it's just a
bold statement.
It's just it's a similar era and the similar ilk of players that he's talking about. It's just, yeah. I think it was quite similar.
You like that word, ilk?
Ilk?
Yeah, I like it.
I don't know, what does it mean?
It's a descriptive term of people's authority.
Stature, not
authority.
I've never seen you go for that one.
I know, I don't know what we're doing.
It's an interesting one.
fingers are cramping up from swimming.
Jason McAteer, Bolton, Liverpool, Tranmere.
Sunderland.
Blackburn, yeah.
What were they called, the guys in the white suits?
Spice Boys.
Yeah. Plenty on them.
But it's a two-parter as well, starting on a two-parter.
Jason's just the back end of the proper stuff and going into the...
More professional
mm-hmm. stuff.
Yeah.
When Ollier came in at Liverpool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's when things started to change in football.
Yeah.
And football has
some people
would
say it the other way around, wouldn't they? You know, that he's going from the less professional side to the proper football side. But no, I'm with you, John.
Oh, he's taking a step back, I think. Football took a step back in about 1998.
Well, should we get him in for the first episode?
Let's get him in.
17. Once again, massive thank you to the Patreons.
Yeah. I know we pillock and that, but it is incredibly appreciated. So,
and for you to look at the camera, I knew that you meant that.
Yeah.
That was from the heart, that.
a feeling there's a few no comments coming in.
Leaving the fifth.
On my intensive research, there's a lot of common ground at this table. Both play for Sunderland.
Yeah.
Both make an appearance in Roy Keane's book. Speak highly of Mick McCarthy as a manager. And, John, new reviewer underpants.
You don't wear boxers either.
I've since started wearing.
Oh, have you started wearing them?
The dark side.
Yeah, look at this here. Are you commando? Are you still commando?
I've been commando since I was 18.
No, I read this thing in a magazine that if you don't, your bollocks can drop really low. And it's not a good look as you get older.
Well, yeah, to be fair. That's right, worth just scratching my ankle. We are a bit itchy.
Yeah, it can cause a testicular hernia, by all accounts. So it helps to wear them.
It was to play in them, like, but...
Yeah, a little pair of slips.
Yeah. Did you not feel more comfortable when you had them on? No.
In denim as well. You're not cheerful.
So you're still commando.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, it's bad though, because the back end's not great. So the jeans need washing.
Regular.
After one wear, the jeans are...
He dribbles as well, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, you're at that stage of your life, innit, when all that things starts happening, yeah.
It's the chafing that I couldn't handle. You know when you start getting sweaty and that? Sweaty balls.
Yeah. No, I've gone. And I go posh now, like Calvin Klein.
Oh, do you silk? Fighting through silk?
And it gives people the excuse to buy your underwear for your Christmas presents in it, because that's all you get as you get older, and socks and undies and that.
My mum still gets me mediums.
That's good, though.
It's not when you're...
When you've got a package like mine.
I've seen it many a time. It's the back end that you can't fit.
I've been short change on the front end.
It's gone downhill rapid this
year. It gets worse.
No. It's a better level. We'll keep bobbing along.
It gets worse. Shall we do confirm or deny then?
Yeah.
Because I think we need to.
Do you know what? I'm just chuckling to myself there. Yesterday, I'm doing a master's degree in sport and directorship, and which I'm sure we'll get into later. But yesterday I was at a seminar with Kevin Thirlwell and loads of academics who were talking dead posh. 24 hours later, I'm with you three talking about it.
It's like, whoa, it's through me.
It's like, yesterday I was dead brainy and clever, and today I'm just straight back down to earth. Yeah.
The first one that I can remember, and I think probably Ruddock they told it, was the Jimmy White 180.
True or false?
True, if it's true. Yeah.
And elaborate.
Because,
obviously, well documented, you got the nickname Trigger and then Dave. But then we had David Leon, who he was adamant that a character, not a character, but you used to play up to it. He said it was comic timing. You knew what you were doing.
Yeah.
It was pure, it was for the comedy gold.
Well, the seriousness of about it was, I think as we all know, sort of the 90s, when I started signed professional football when I was 20, so I was really late. So I went through like all the non-league stuff with Marine. So it was a bit of a, you know, an eye-opener to go from Sunday league football then to semi-pro and get this shit kicked out of you. So I learned quite quick and I grew quite quick, and, you know, I'd take all the banter on the sidelines and, you know, all that kind of stuff sort of come my way, being a young lad and stuff. So I had to take it on board and then signed pro when I was 20, I was in Bolton's dressing room with a lot of the Scottish lads, so the banter was flying around. And it was still like that drinking culture going on, but you quickly had to survive in a dressing room and you had to find your way because you could shrink. Certainly lower leagues, it was tough. And then obviously then you end up in a Liverpool dressing room with all these legends and you want to be accepted really, really quickly. And obviously these are all like, you know, championship winners. They've got medals coming out of their ears and stuff. And, you know, the history of the club, you've got to survive and you've got to survive quick. So I had this ability to act the class clown, as it were. I knew how to add the banter, give it back, have a laugh, take it. So I was always quick-witted. And I think growing up on Merseyside as well, you know, every Scouser's funny, isn't he? So, you know, I quickly learned to have a comeback or to say something. And then I found that this character that was coming around, because I was involved in the Irish team as well, you know, I was nicknamed Trigger by the Irish lads off Only Fools and Horses, because going back to that, my first game for Ireland, I flew in on the Sunday afternoon, and I was told they were all drinking in a pub round the corner. And I went in and met them. They all made a fuss of me and I went to the girl behind the bar, Giselle Guinness. So of course all the lads are like in Ireland, like even the girls a bit. So they were like, oh my God, he's thick as shit, this kid. Like, although it was innocent, I kind of knew what I was doing.
Yeah.
And then quickly this nickname and his character evolved to Trigger. So of course I go into the Liverpool dressing room, and to survive, it was just like a survivor mechanism, really, yeah. Just to be this.
Works.
And it worked. It worked. And the Jimmy White one was a very similar situation. You know, we just flew back from, we played Holland in Amsterdam, straight into a nightclub in Dublin. And I like the Ronnie O'Sullivan, Jimmy White, you know, the Mavericks of sport, a little bit different, Gazza and all them. I used to love all them characters. So I'd never met Jimmy White before. So I'm in this nightclub and Jimmy White's sitting over there with Ronnie Wood from the Rolling Stones, two of them plastered, smashed. So anyway, I'm trying to pluck up a bit of courage to go and talk to him, but I lost the opportunity. So I'm standing with Gary Breen, a couple of the other lads, and he walks past and Breen, he says, listen, this is your only chance. You might never see him again. So as he gets to the door, I just went, I don't know what made me do it. I went, Jimmy. And he turned round like that. And he just, you know, when you catch his eye contact, and Gary Breen went, say something. And I went, 180. And Breen, he went, that's darts. Jimmy, just give me the thumbs up. Gary, don't thumbs walk. Just give me one of them. But it was just, there was a lot of them moments just going on. So, yeah. And I've never met him since. I've never seen him since. To either explain or to like say, do you remember this? He probably wouldn't have done because he was smashed.
That's a confirm.
That's tick, yeah.
The pizza one.
Not me.
So that one was, you've asked a pizza to be cut into six slices because you couldn't eat eight.
Can you cut it into four? Because I'll never eat eight. That's the line. I've since been told it was David Burrows. It was at Liverpool.
Left back.
Yeah. It was, apparently it was him that said it. But
just
I
made it up like?
Oh, no, he said it. He actually did say it. But the story gets attributed to me.
So the narrative.
I don't know why I looked at you for confirmation on what if attributed was actually a word.
I'd have more pieces of pizza, the better for me, I'll be honest with you. The bigger and more, the better.
Yeah, that weren't me. So that's...
So I deny the...
Deny.
What did Razor throw at us? The ice and...
Coat hanger.
Ice, not me. That's the going to a party, bag of ice.
Yeah.
It's an hour away, so they go back in and get another bag of ice. No, I believe that was Rushy.
So these are all...
It's bad, isn't it?
Those are all true. Not all mine. But that story is... I apparently have heard that Rushy, they were going to a party in Southport and they were on the Wirral. It's a 45-minute drive. So it was bring a bottle. So they stopped off at the Spa or something. And Rushy went in and got a bottle of vodka or something, come out with a bag of ice. And Barnsley apparently said to him, it's an hour away. The ice will melt. So Barnsley gets out the car and goes and gets another bag of ice, gets back in the car. So we did take two bags of ice. So that was that story, but that's not me.
But he answered it, Razor, and he said it's in Ibiza. Obviously, the temperature's flipping 35.
Razor embellishes his stories. So, yeah, and most of them are aimed at me, but that wasn't me. The coat hanger story is true. I had bought myself a nice car. Three lads tried to rob it in the middle of the night. Car alarm goes off. And they scarpered, so I called the police. The police came, and I got to know the two lads who turned up, the two policemen who turned up, and they used to come round my house for cups of tea, and I used to go and meet them for coffee and stuff. They were two good lads, Kirk and Paul, the name was. Anyway, one morning, in the winter, I used to go out, I'd get up, I'd go downstairs, I'd put my car on to make it nice and warm, and then I'd go in and have my breakfast, and then I'd get in my car, I'd be nice and warm, and drive to training. So I come out one morning, just bought this car, and the central locking system was broke on it. So I started the car, and as I shut it, I left the keys in the ignition. As I shut it, the central locking went on. So I'm thinking, I'm going to be late for training. What am I going to do? So I ring my mates, because I'm thinking, two coppers, they'll be able to get in my car. They've got all the tricks. So I ring them. They were on duty, so they come round to my house, and they're looking in the car, and Kirk turns around to me and says, go and get me a coat hanger, I'll sort this. And I ran upstairs, and I'm thinking, coat hanger. So I get this wooden coat hanger thinking he's just going to put the window through. And I run back downstairs, give him the coat hanger. He went, I need a metal one. So the coat hanger story is true, but it certainly, Razor certainly wasn't in my house. No. He said he stayed the night, didn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
No.
Never let the truth get in the way of a good story.
Exactly. So it's true, but Razor weren't there.
Any more, Johnny? We will talk about football at some point.
Yeah. Lane, take a shortcut back from Russia. Am I on the right?
Sure on that one.
Am I on the right?
No, I did think AD and BC, I got asked what that meant, and I thought AD was after dinosaurs.
Before chips.
Yeah. After dinosaurs. And I remember one as well. We had a game away, and my mum wouldn't let me have a credit card for some reason. She just wouldn't let me have one. But all the lads had credit cards and stuff. So I thought, I need to, like, I was at Liverpool, I was earning a right few quid, and I thought, I need to get myself a credit card. So I got the application form from the bank. And I thought, I'll fill that in on the Friday afternoon driving down to London or wherever we're on the coach. So I started filling it out, and obviously it's easy and gets progressively harder, doesn't it, as in the questions. So as in easy, name, date of birth, it was all fine. And then it said company, so I put Liverpool Football Club. And then underneath it said the position you hold in the company, and I put right back stroke and back out.
That's a good one. That one's true.
That's a good one. Very true.
That's
yeah.
a belter.
And I sent it off.
But can fill in midfield if necessary.
If needed, central midfield.
In brackets.
Yeah. So I filled that in, yeah. And I got the credit cards.
Yeah.
I got one. Yeah, they sent me it, yeah. So that was true. Yeah, but there's been...
Funny.
Yeah, there's been loads of little ones like that.
I feel like we put some to bed though.
Yeah, I'm glad we put him to bed.
Yeah.
I'm trying to move into a...
You're doing your Masters.
Exactly, I'm trying to move into a different part of my life.
Man.
A more academic part of my life. I need to be taken seriously.
Talking about the early days and you coming... I mean, it is a rags-to-riches kind of story, that initial getting in at Bolton playing non-league football. Because am I right in saying you're on the dole and then 5 years later, you win the World Cup?
Yeah, that's pretty much true, yeah. Yeah, well, the two facts you said are true. So I went to school. It was called Rocky Eye. It wasn't the greatest education, but I was very sporty. From a sporty family, my uncles were all really good boxers, middleweight champions and stuff, and a bit of a tough upbringing, really. You know, my upbringing was always you win. There's no taking part is great and, like, shaking hands and all that. If you lose, it's like... So I was really good at cross-country. I was good at judo as well. I was Northwest champion at judo when I was about 11. But I didn't like the singular sports. I was more into team sports. And as I got older, I liked the camaraderie and being involved in a team and winning. So obviously played for the school.
You want to get skid marks in them judo suits, do you? Nightmare get out of with underpants on.
Yeah, especially back in the 80s, there was none of that dazz or all that, was there? It was full on.
Elbow grease.
Yeah, it was full on mum hard work, scraping it off. So I got in, I like team sports and footy. It was literally the next door neighbour and one of the lads around the corner, his dad was putting a team together. He was a bus driver and they were sponsoring the team. So we got together and then we went through the ages together. And then I got to the end of school and there was no academies and stuff. It was trials. It was, you know, your dad's mate, wasn't it? It was like, can I get you a trial at Liverpool or Everton or Tranmere or somewhere? And I was at Chester. I had a trial at Chester, a trial at Tranmere, a trial at Everton, Man United. But they all said I was too small and I didn't fit the build or I wasn't right for them. So I literally got to 15. And my mum just sat me down and said, well, what are you going to do with your life? Football's not on the cards. But I was really good at drawing. I liked drawing. And I just went, right, I'll go to art school. So I went to art school, college, and I'd done a 3-year graphic design, BTEC national diploma. And I'd done graphic design for 3 years. But I carried on playing for a couple of pubs and stuff. And I gradually started growing, getting bigger. And like I mentioned before, getting the shit kicked out of here, and I kind of grew up really quick in the lower leagues of football. And I was literally working in a pub as a glass collector and a barman. And there was a centre forward from Marine, Paul Meacham, was in the pub drinking. And he said to me, you've been doing really well, like playing for the pub teams around here, haven't you? I said, yeah, yeah. He said, do you want to come for a trial at Marine? It's in Crosby. I didn't even know where Marine were. So I said, yeah. So I went over, got into the reserves at Marine, and was at college, was waiting in a pub. Literally, that was how my career in football kind of started. Because from there, I finished my college course. Like, I just didn't really know what to do with it. So I signed on the dole. And I was on the dole for a couple of months. But I hated it.
Did you physically go to the job centre?
I went to the job, signed on, yeah. and then went to the place where you get your money, and you got to cash your gyro, wasn't it?
Gyro.
They give you
then.
The thing, and they give you the gyro. And I remember coming out one day thinking, "There's more to life than this. Like, I can't what be doing this. Like, what am I doing?" And I felt a little bit, you know, like when you. It sounds horrible, but it's like degrading. It's like, it was just horrible just being around that environment. It's just.
Did you think a career in football was an option at that point? Or are you looking at, I've got to do something in graphic design or just anything?
It was anything. It was anything. It was more, it was probably more going towards working in a pub for the rest of my life as a barman and like mooching around and stuff. Just don't know. Just lost really. Didn't know where my life was going to go. Just looking for a break. And then my uncle lived in America. My dad's brother, and he said, "Listen, if you want to try and get a soccer scholarship over here, I'll help you." So I went to America on the 3-month visa, passport visa, and I got a couple of trials over there for universities, and then I got offered a couple of places in universities, Tiffin University in Ohio it was, and my visa ran out in sort of the December, and they said to me, "Listen, go back to England, do your SAT in January, and then come back in the February." So I said, "Okay, yeah." So they said to me, "When you come back, you've got to be ready to go straight into it. So go back to Marine and play in the reserves and keep fit."
Yeah.
So I said, "Okay." So I went back to Marine reserves. Dave Ramsden was the manager. And we played Bolton in a game. And Phil Neal was watching. So it was Bolton A team. Remember the A teams? It used to be the A team, then the reserves, then the first team.
Yeah.
So I played in the A team, which was against all the kids. You know, I just had one of them games where I scored a few, set a few up. Phil Neal's watching. And then after the game, Dave Ramsden comes to me as I was leaving. And he said, "Listen, Phil Neal, like really was really impressed with you. He's going to ring you tonight, ring your mum tonight, mum and dad." So I was like, "Okay." Anyway, he didn't ring until the Sunday night. Phone goes, my mum's on the phone. She's like, "You know, like my mum's Phil Neal." She's like a Liverpool fan as well. My mum, she was like, "Couldn't believe it." It was like royalty had rang. She was like, "Oh, Phil Neal." And she said, "Oh, he wants you to go for the trial." So I was like, "Okay." So I went back to Marine that week. So I trained Tuesday night and Thursday night. And Rowley Howard, the manager of Marine, had found out that I was going on the Monday. And on the Thursday, he put a contract in front of me. And Phil Neal had said, "Don't sign a contract between now and this trial." So I was like, "But they'd offered me one, 100 quid a week." So I'd gone in and I said, "Listen, I need to have a look at it. I need to, you know, take it home, let my dad see it." So I went home and my dad said, "You're not signing that." I went for the trial on the Monday and then I was offered a pro contract. So basically binned Rowley Howard and then I signed. So I had a trial the Monday and on the Thursday, Bolton offered me a contract and I signed it. Phew. I signed the contract.
You must have been a good trial, eh?
Yeah.
To be honest, it really worked out, yeah. It
signing that mad. Contract could have fucked you up though, couldn't it really? Because I know that he's doing his best for the club and trying to get a bit of money from you, but
10 grand they wanted.
And they didn't have it. And it might not have been worth the risk.
Yeah, they said, "Listen, if you sign a contract for Marine, it's going to cost 10 grand. So we can't pay 10 grand. So that's it. The deal, it's gone."
If they had offered you 300 quid a week, 400 quid a week, do you think you'd have signed it? Or was there no way? Did you know that?
I was going to take the trial.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if it never worked out, I was going to go back with my tail between my legs and go, can I sign? So I signed for Bolton in the January. And then I was meant to play in the April, done my hamstring, so I never got in the first team. And I got to May, and Phil Neal got the sack at the end of the season. Got the bullet.
And you only thinking signed until the end of the season?
Yeah. But I was in the reserves at Bolton, like brink of the first team. And he they're obviously getting me up to speed to throw me in the April, so done my hamstring.
Were you thinking it's going to be good for him going?
I'd been told I was going to get a new contract because I was flying. Like there was loads of us in the reserve, Scousers, there was me, Andy Roscoe, Darren Oliver, Neil Fisher, good bunch of lads. Craig Llewellyn was there, centre forward. And we kind of like, we were all driving in together and stuff. Stubbsy was in and out the first team. So I drove in with him a couple of times, Stubbsy. So I knew I was going to get a contract. I just didn't know who the new manager was. And then Bruce Rea come in. And then that was just the start of my career then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So did Marine get anything for you?
A bag of balls and 500 quid. That's what they give him. A bag of balls and 500 quid as a goodwill gesture.
Did you know straight away that he was having you?
Yeah, straight away, yeah. Yeah. It was kind of like Colin Todd took Stubbsy under his wing. Bruce Rayock took me under his wing. And then we just worked and worked and worked, stayed back afternoons, worked with Bruce. He kicked a lot of the old wood out and started again. And then we got promoted that season, beat Preston. Beat Preston, got a promotion. And then we started going on them cup runs. Andy Walker came, John McGinley, Owen Coyle, Mixie Patalainen.
What was so good about Rioch as a manager?
It's tough.
Yeah, we've heard that.
We've heard a lot from all the lads that have played for him. Authoritarian.
But he loved me. Like, I loved him and he loved me and we like had this mutual respect and I just knew I was learning from him. I had to learn, so...
Is it tough love? Would he put...
So I'd signed this contract and he went to me. He said, you do well for me. I'll give you a new contract all the time. I'll just keep upping your money. And he did. Like, I got 6 months into the contract. He gave me another contract. I'd go on to like 500 quid. Then I was on a grand. I was on 2 grand when I left Liverpool. But when I signed the contract, it must have been like, I don't know, maybe the one for a grand a week. You remember Burnden Park? You come off the motorway and you drive down the hill to Burnden Park.
You looked at him again.
Sorry. You never played it.
Plays at Burnden Park. I'm in my debut in 99. So Burnden Park's still here.
Did you?
I'm only 42.
That's what it is.
You look a lot older than every episode.
I'm about to start putting my age on a sticker.
He's starting to bring his birth certificate.
So that's what it is. John, you look a lot older. Sorry, mate. Sorry. Serious. 99?
99 is my debut, yeah.
Anyway,
crippled as that.
So
Sammy Lee, you'd have played with him, wouldn't you?
you go down the hill to Burnden Park, right? And there was a garage on the right hand side, pie shop right opposite the ground, and then on the right hand side there was a garage. And me and Stubbs used to drive down, and this independent car garage, there was a Lotus Elan, green one with a black roof. Mate, he used to wink at me every day, that car. And I'm thinking, I'm buying that car. If I ever get enough good contract, I'm buying it. So anyway, sign his contract. Thought, that's it, I'm getting the car. So that means Stubbs, you dropped me off. And I went in the garage and I went, can I buy the car? And he went, yeah, I'll have it ready for you tomorrow. So I bought it. So anyway, next day, gets it, drives it home. The next day, I'm driving it in, all made up, sports car. I've hit the, like, big time. I'm like, Lotus Elan, pulled it into the car park. Going to training. Anyway, we finished training. Bruce Rioch comes in. He goes, dressing room. We're all like getting in and out the shower, in the bath and all that, like, getting ready. Everyone, he walks in. It was kind of like Sergeant Major's walked in. Everyone's like, by the bed, one of them. So he goes, who's the Lotus Elan in the car park? Knowing full well who it was, right? I've gone, shit. You know, one of them. Pine Gaffer. He went, come and see me in the office when you're ready. I went, okay, yeah. Get dressed, go in the office. He went, I've spoken to the lad at the garage. He said, he's got the check ready for you. He went, get that car back to the garage and go and buy yourself a proper car. He said, you're not driving in that motorway every day in a Lotus Elan. No chance. So I'm like, all right, Gaffer, yeah. So like a drive up, fella's laughing his head off. He just goes like, oh, the check. Give me the check.
See, you've gone home, gone to training, took it back.
Yeah. Within 3 days, I'd bought it and sold it back to the garage.
For 500 quid less. Yeah. A bag of balls.
So he'd said to me, you full money, you're getting your full money back, the fella's all right with the garage. So God knows what he'd said to him. So I had to go to, Stubbsy drove me to the Peugeot garage and I ended up buying like a, I don't know, whatever it was, like a Peugeot 205 or something to drive in.
Yeah. And as a bitter pill as it was to swallow, looking back on it now, do you think he's looking after you there?
Yeah, every time, like I'd think at the time, like, what are you doing? Or I'm not having this. When you reflect back, yeah. You know, when you've had time and you see that, you go, yeah, okay, yeah.
It's like, but Alex Ferguson type, yeah. Crack, innit?
Yeah,
that he used to do stuff, a lot of,
yeah. And he'd proper look after me because, like I said, I mean, the dressing room early, I was going to look at you again, you don't know. The early 90s was just like, it was a free for all.
Yeah.
I mean, anything went in the dressing room, it was, I mean, God knows now, like you'd be sent to jail for some of the stuff that had gone on in the dressing room. So you had to survive, and you know, having Bruce as an ally and like a father figure was perfect for me, and it was brilliant. And then we went on them cup runs, and like, we made name for ourselves. And before I know it, you know, I've got all the scouts were coming to watch me and Stubbsy. Alan Thompson had signed, so all the scouts were coming to watch us three, and it was just brilliant.
But what was the crack? Did somebody tell a story about Rioch making his train after it, when a game got called off?
Oh, that was, yeah.
Is that just the norm?
Putting in your place.
Yes, game got called off, so he'd back to the ground and it'd be like laps around Burnden Park. There was like a cinder track around the ground. It was like laps up and down the stairs, up and down the stands.
I think he said, I can't remember it, Matt Patterson said that he'd heard John McGinley sawing the night out because the match had been off. He's heard him sawing the night out. We're going here, we're going there. And he's like, no, you don't.
he'd when Bruce had, taxi drivers are the ones, aren't they? That's who the managers get involved, especially the old school managers. Taxi drivers know everything, wouldn't they? So they get all the stories from there. So Bruce had the taxi drivers in his pocket. So he knew when there was a night out, who was doing what, who was up to no good or whatever. And he pulled me and Stubbsy and just said, you don't get involved. The likes of Phil Brown and John McGinn and that, stay away from them. So we had to stay away from the older lads. But I lived on the Wirral. So I used to drive up and down the M62. A mini Metro I had. That's what I had. That was my first car. I used to drive up and down in a mini Metro. And so I would go home a lot, which probably helped my career because, you know, I stayed away from, you know, the older lads and the drinking and all that.
How old were you when you signed?
20.
20. So, yeah, he knows what he's doing, doesn't he? That's prime for getting upped in.
He kept me away from it all, yeah. He didn't want me involved in it at all.
And I know you, in your book, you talk about Roy Evans, Mick, Bruce Ray, obviously these managers that you've got a lot of respect for. What was it that they did to you, or the way they managed you that made you love them so much? Like, you as a player, what did you need?
Guidance, really. And you know, like, I didn't know what this football culture was. I mean, the drinking culture in the 90s, early 90s, from the 80s and stuff, was prominent. I mean, you know, they went out and just got pissed, didn't they? Footballers after games and, you know, drink on the Monday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, whatever it was. And it was just after the game, it was straight in the lounge afterwards, pints, straight out, pubs and all that kind of stuff. You know, that was, the 90s was the biggest change in football, and I was on the back end of that culture and then went into, obviously, the modern culture. I mean, it's even more modern now, but, you know, I've seen the biggest change. So, you know, back in the early 90s, drinking was still a massive thing. So to be kept away from it, you know, by the managers. So I needed Bruce Rioch to be he was a tough manager. He was like a sergeant major, but I needed that. He kept me away from it all. But I didn't know that at the time, you know, because I didn't know what I was getting. Do you know what I mean? It was there, but he kept me away from it. So I didn't really know it was there.
He's done well there. You know, the older lads in the change room will have tried to get you under the wing and get you out.
And the other thing as well is, like, I've been given the biggest opportunity in my life. Do you know what I mean? I didn't really want to mess it up myself. So if he told you, listen, you're not going out with them, it was like, I'm not going out with them. Like, Phil Babb, I was talking to Phil Babb about it yesterday. We'd done something. They went away. In fact, Bruce Rioch, Millwall, right? Phil Babb was one of the YTs. He took a squad of players away somewhere. Was it somewhere in Wales? And he said, Bruce Rioch, none of the players are going out. No one goes out tonight. And he said, Teddy Earlock, right, went, everybody in the squad's out. No one stays in. So, of course, the young lads are like, oh, he's told us not to go out, but Teddy Earlock's saying. So they all went. The next day, the two YTs, Phil Babb and another YT, get called in, and Bruce Rioch went, that's it, you're out, you're done. And he got rid of them. Cancelled the contracts. And Phil Babb turned around to me and he went, it was the best thing that happened to me, because he turned around to Bruce Rioch and he went, I'll make it because of you.
Give him the fire.
Yeah. And he got rid of them, the two of them, binned them. He binned the two of them.
It's a tough spot for a young lad, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a tough spot.
I think what are you doing?
Well, fucking, I'm out. Yeah, I'm on my bike and all.
Yeah.
100%. So you're not going out in Liverpool when you got home then?
No, I very rarely go out, no. Very rarely would go out. No,
he's done you a solid though with a car.
Yeah,
that's the first step, isn't it? That's the first step. Getting the car, rocking up. Then next, are you sure you're not coming
straight
down?
Straight away, nipped it in the bud. You know, all of a sudden you think you're Billy Big Bollocks and all that. It's like no. When I got back from the World Cup, I thought I'd made it, I'd cracked it, and then you know, my mum quickly slapped me back down to earth. I was around my mates. I had a good set of mates and stuff. You know, they were quickly on my case and all that.
How long was it when you were at Bolton that you started getting the international recognition?
Oh, that was funny, right? So we were doing really well in cup games, and like obviously we were making our names for ourselves, the three lads. I was telling you about me, Stubbsy and Alan Thompson. And then Evan was when Jack turned up. So Jimmy Armfield. So I get called into the gaffer's office, Bruce's office, after training one morning. So I go in the afternoon, and Jimmy Armfield's in there, and he was scouting for England. So he's in there, and I'm thinking, what's going on here? So the gaffer, Bruce Rioch, says to me, Jimmy Armfield wants you to play for England. And when I was in the pub working in 1990, the Italia World Cup finals was on, right? So big Liverpool fan. So you got Ronnie Whelan, Ray Houghton, Steve Staunton, John Aldridge playing for Ireland, right? So I'm waiting in the pub watching all these games. And of course, like Liverpool's got a big Irish connection. So when the Ireland games were on, and obviously they were doing really well through the tournament with the Romanian and all that, the games were massive. Like the pub was full. And I was thinking, oh my God, this team's like brilliant. Like, look at them, they're having such a good time. And like, how good are they? And like Liverpool players as well. So I'd become like a big Ireland fan, wasn't interested in England. And I'm never really patriotic. I think being from the north of England, you're not that patriotic, are you? It's a bit like... So the Irish team was like this, but next thing, they're visiting the Pope, all that kind of stuff. It's like this. I'd like, how good would it be to play for them? So anyway, with Jimmy Armfield, so flip forward now to my career. So Jimmy Armfield's in there and he says, we'd like you to represent England. There's a B international. We'd like you and Alan Stubbs to play. So he leaves. So I said to Bruce Rioch, I went, I don't want to play for England. I want to play for Ireland. So we go, he's like, well, why? And I went, well, they've done really well in the World Cup. They've got like loads of Liverpool players playing for them. It's like, I'm not really asked about England. It's like not really something I've thought about.
And he's like, you know, people talk about the Independent Republic of Liverpool as well.
Yeah.
We support Liverpool. They're not really asked about England.
I wasn't really exposed to that, but I just never felt patriotic. It wasn't like... England, like, and I want to play for them. It was like, I was honoured.
Ireland.
Yeah, I was honoured. But, and the other thing I thought to myself is like, England used to have like so many players that would get one cap and like, you'd never see them again.
Yeah.
And I think I was thinking like, that could happen. And, you know, and I just, so Bruce Rioch said to me, well, what do you want to do? And I went, well, tell Jack Charlton, like,
you know. Did you know if you had any heritage at this point?
I didn't really get it. Right, so he then said to me, well, is there anyone in your family Irish? And I went, well, I'll have to go home and ask my mum and dad.
It's like, it's a good question, that.
Don't think it's so. Quite, is that
Jason,
how it works?
Jason, do you know what? Do you know what, Bruce? I kind of fancy playing for Brazil.
It's like, quite an important answer that you're going to come back
with. You laugh now, right? Wait till the end of the story, guys. So I went home. I said to my mum, I went, England, want me to play for it? Like, want me to play for them? She's like, oh, that's nice, isn't it? You know, my mum's like, so I'm still like, that's my dad. Like, have we got any Irish in the family? He went, yeah, your grandfather, I think. Like, so his granddad, like, apparently was born in County Down, apparently, right? No one really knew. But they moved to England. The story goes, they moved to England. So anyway, I went back in. I went to Bruce Rioch. I went, I think my great grandfather's Irish. So he's like, okay, I'll tell the FAI. So, I mean, Anne's Welsh. My nan found out. She's like, no, you got to play for Wales. And I'm like, oh. Any Liverpool players playing there?
They didn't go to World Cup.
And aren't they good at rugby? I'm like. So anyway, I go back in. So we've got Everton. We've got Everton in the FA Cup, Bairndon Park. Play okay. I go in the players' lounge. Right? Jack Charlton's in there with his son, John. So I'm like, there's Jack Charlton there, World Cup winner. Like, I want to eat that. He's the manager of Ireland. So next week he comes over and he says to me, he says, listen, he said, I don't know if you know. He said, we're playing Russia next week, Lansdowne Road. He said, do you want to come and play for Ireland? So I'm like, yeah, I do, yeah. So he goes, okay, I'll get the secretary to call you. So I went, okay. So that was it, right? So I go over, play for the Republic of Ireland against Russia. Next thing I'm in. I'm Ireland. So next thing, right, do you remember when like Russia all split up and all like all the countries disbanded and they all had to, so FIFA and UEFA turned around and went, if you play for your country, you have to hold a passport from your country. So I was playing for Ireland, but I was playing on an English passport. I didn't have an Irish passport. So they had to give you citizenship. So the girl from the FAI rings me one morning, right, and I forget it, right. She goes, listen, you know, like we're trying to sort the passport out for you. I went, yeah. She went, we've come across three McAteers from County Down. She said, and we can't be bothered looking. Can't be bothered looking any further. Do you just want to pick one as your granddad? All right. Yeah, all right. I want my options. So she's gone like, well, you've got him and you've got him and you've got him. And I went, well, yeah, whatever you think. Like, so some random fella, like Sean McAteer or Paddy McAteer from County Down, was put on. Yeah. So the next game I go to, I had to go to court and literally to give me a piece of paper. It was like four people in this courtroom. And it was like, I pledged my allegiance to Ireland to do what? And that was it. I get back. So I went from the court back to the hotel and I don't know what it was, obviously sorted out. I go in and my passport on my bed. My passport was already done. I just had to go to court and read this thing. Signed off, my passport was on my bed. That was in. I was in.
So good, you didn't have to fill any forms in, innit?
Yeah. I would have been struggling on what position I was playing.
Country, England, or fuck.
Yeah.
Just pick one.
Yeah.
Davina McCall will be raging. That kind of loose heritage.
Just imagine the girl, can't you? Like, I mean, like Google and all that back in the 90s was probably non-existent, was it? It was just like, you just imagine how hard it must have been trying to find, like,
you
just
pick one.
It was just pick one. And that was it. That was it. So Stubbsy went and played for England. I think he got 1B international cap. And then I had 12 years with Ireland and went to 2 World Cups, yeah. So I think I picked the right one, didn't I?
Yeah.
So I mean, I don't know what your question you asked me, but it was the Ireland stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah, how soon into your Bolton days were you in the Ireland squad? And then obviously talk about that first World Cup and stuff.
Well, there you go. I signed in 90, I signed pro for Bolton. And in 94, I was playing. So I was playing for Marine and Dogshit Park in 1990 before I signed for Bolton.
4 years
later. And then I was playing in the Giant Stadium 4 years later. 3.5 years later, I was playing in the Giant Stadium against Italy in front of 100,000.
Is that the one where Ray Houghton scored with the left foot? Like a bit of a looper.
Mm-hmm.
Looked warm.
Mate, brilliant, right? So Ray Houghton, oh, it was fucking 100 degrees. Mm-hmm. Right, so that game, right, the Italians were like film stars. They were like favourites to win it and all that. And we've got them in our group, haven't we? Giant Stadium, 100,000. I'm like, mate, that 6 weeks was like stag, right? It was the best 6 weeks of my life.
That was it?
Oh, mate.
Oh, so you'd fuck Brooksbury Ox advice off now?
Yeah.
On board.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was at the time I'm kind of, so I've joined up with the Irish boys and it was, you know, I was kind of now with Ireland, and that was when I was thinking I was Billy Big Bollocks, you know, I'm going to Ireland, I'm going to the World Cup now. It's like, I've got a bit more rope. It's like, you know, my career's kind of cemented a little bit. Like back in the early days, you're thinking, if I get fucked off here, I'm like, I might never play football again. Now I'm at the World Cup, it's like, do what I want now. I'm in now. My feet are in, under the table. So I go this World Cup. So obviously I'm not thinking I'm going to play any part of this World Cup at all. I mean, my number was 21 of 22. So I'm thinking like, you know, if you do the maths, there's plenty of players getting on before me.
19,
exactly. He's getting on before me. And so I'm just there for the experience and for the good time. So when we were out, I was having a good time stuff. And we kick off, Ray Hunt scores. So then get to about, like the 55th minute, and Jack, funniest ever, right? Jack Charlton goes, go and warm up. I'm thinking, Jesus Christ, Jack, I'm sweating my tits off here. It's about 100 degrees. It's like, you couldn't get any hotter. Like, so I'm doing, you know, then you do that one in front of him, don't you? Like, running past, doing all that. So then he turns around about the 65th minute or something, and he goes, you're going on. So I'm thinking, fucking hell, who am I going? Where am I playing? He's not bringing Ray Houghton off because he scored the goal. He's like, so next thing, I'm like, I'm standing on the touchline. I'm thinking, who am I going on for? Next thing, the number goes up. It's Ray Houghton. His face, mate, he was like fuming. You ever watch it on YouTube? He's fuming, right? So mate, I've got this thing. So I'm on the touchline like that, waiting to go on. And he's coming off. He's like fuming, right? So next thing, I go, like, fuck me, I'm out, right? He just walked past it. I'm like on the telly. It's like, whoa, proper.
Thanks,
and I said to him, I went to him years later, I went, you proper blanked me coming off you, are you? He went, no, I never. And I've got the photograph. I'll show you, right? It's on my phone. I've got the photograph. He's fuming. So then I get on, and it was literally like just being thrown in at the deep end. It's like, you've got to swim here. And I've got like Maldini's marking me. You've got, but their team was Maldini, Baresi, Costa Curta, Baggio, Donadoni, Signori. Mate, I'm watching Gazzetta every Sunday morning, Gazzetta football with James Richardson. These are my heroes, like, and I've run it. They're like film stars. For some reason, they just look bigger in real life. They had the white kit on the day, played in the away kit. Mate, it was just like the best. And of course, then we go and win 1-0. I played the last 25 minutes. I've nutmegged Baggio. Like, my mum turned up the next day with the T-shirt she'd had made. My son, nutmegged Baggio. She walked in the hotel, I went, what the fuck? Get that off.
You need to slap it. You need to get it down. Get it down. It's a good turn, isn't it?
Around like that. Like,
Because imagine with cap on and all, Jack Charlton cap on.
Mate, honest to God. Mate, it was like, it was just like a stag. And we played four games of footy. Like going on tour with like South Shields, like to America and playing four games of footy against the best footballers in the world in the best arenas.
So was Jack all right with that?
Is Jack all right with that, right? So then we get beat by Mexico and we nearly killed Tommy Coyne because obviously sports science back then wasn't like it was today. So obviously after the game, they're just plowing water down, as much water as you can. They're getting down you. Even when you can't drink anymore, they're shoving it down you. So of course we take off. And Tommy's like gone from being dehydrated to drinking 60 pints of water. And as the plane's gone like that, for the pressure, as obviously his brain's just gone, fucking one of them. So he had to lie down on the floor. We honestly nearly killed him. So the plane had to come down altitude. He had to lie on the floor. Honest to God, he was ill, right? So then we land and all that. He had the hospital and he was all right. So then we're playing. I come on against Mexico and set John Aldridge up. And the mad thing was, right, Jack's tactics were back to front. We win the second, we win the bits. You know, big man, little man, we win the bits. Yeah. We attack from there, right? The goal we scored against, we got beat 2-1 against Mexico. The goal we scored against Mexico up until the last World Cup was the most touches by a team before a goal was scored. We had like 22 passes and then we scored. It was like a record.
Total football.
It was total football from the team that go back to front. Mm. Like,
Jack pulling his hair out on the sideline.
Fucking yeah. Kick it. Yeah. Kick it forward.
He was too busy lashing like bags of water onto the pitch and that.
Drinking.
Yeah, one of them. So anyway, we scored this goal, like crossing Aldo scores. And if you remember it, this one with Aldo, the two of us are going on and the linesman stops him.
Oh, yeah.
The linesman, in his head, right, the linesman thought two substitutes couldn't go on at the same time and stopped John Aldridge going on. And he's there on the sidelines going, I'll fucking knock it out, you fucking dickhead. Like,
you no fucking comprende.
No comprende. All that, you knobhead. She's running on. Watch it on us.
What
best
is
ever,
this right? Knobhead?
And he runs on like that. Like, and even then, his brain, he just turns around and he goes, knobhead. It's the little last one.
He had to get one more in.
He had to get one more in, yeah. And you know the funny, just the side story to that, after the game, because it was on the BBC, after the game, Aldo rang home and his dad, he's talking to his dad like that and his conversation, he goes, put my mum on. And his dad went to him, she won't talk to your son. And he goes, why? He went, all that swearing on the telly and all that, your mum's really embarrassed. You've really embarrassed her. She doesn't want to speak to you. She's really annoyed. Like, he went, serious? He went, yeah. Didn't speak to her for two or three days. She wouldn't come on the phone.
Just scored a goal in the World Cup.
Because he swore on the telly and all that and it was all on
that.
It's not
that bad either, is it?
Could have been worse. Yeah. I can remember it.
Yeah.
Can you?
Yeah. Oh, mate, watch it. It's the funniest thing ever, right? So anyway, I end up crossing, he scores. And the goal eventually takes us through. But so we flip forward now. We got Norway, last game of the group. And we're in the hotel and I'm rooming with Gary Kelly. So we all had our own rooms, but I used to get scared in that. Not scared, lonely. Better word for scared. I used to get scared.
Just leave the light on.
Yeah. I hated rooming on my own, right? So I moved in with Gary Kelly. So so me and him, but we were messes, right? And because we weren't expected to play a lot, big part of it, you know, we would get up to all kinds and stuff and like we'd all have dinner and because on the floor, you'd have security each end, but we'd have the whole floor. But we used to leave all the doors open so you could come and go in each other's room and all that. And so we'd finish our dinner dead quick and then go up and then just trash the rooms or like leave a shit in the sink or just do mad things like that. Just stupid things. Got John Aldridge's toothbrush one night, shoved it up my ass and put it back in. Oh,
no bed.
No bed. We go anything like that, brushing his teeth. Oh. We used to do all things like that. Oh my God, yeah. So we get this phone call. The phone goes in the room and Kells picks the phone up and he goes, yeah, no problem. Yeah, he puts the phone down and he goes, Jack wants to see you in his room. I'm thinking, oh my God, what have we done? Like, we stepped over the mark and we're getting told off. That was my first thought. So I knock on his door. He opens the door and I go in. And it was in there. It was Andy Townsend was in there. I think Aldo was in there. And one of the other players with pints of Guinness, right? So they're sitting in Jack's suite and they've all got a pint of Guinness. like sitting down like this. Jack's over there with a pint of Guinness. Like there was a keg in Jack's room of Guinness. Like, set a keg of Guinness up, right? This is the night before, arguably the Italy, but this is to get us through the World Cup, get us out. Like, so it's a massive game, massive. And they're in there drinking, and I'm thinking, what is going on here? So Jack goes to me, no messing around tonight. He goes, you're starting tomorrow. You're starting. I'm thinking, whoa, this is amazing. He goes, get a good night's sleep, no messing around. I'm like, yeah, all right, Jack. They're on the ale. Like, so go back to my room. I'm like, hell, I'm playing tomorrow. So anyway, lights out, gets good night's sleep. So fast forward the game. And like people always say to me, like, give us a story of what like epitomizes the island setup and the camaraderie and all that, right? So, and you got a bit of a flavor for it, but this game was just, this moment was just what done it for me, right? So we're on the way to the stadium, giant stadium, again, 100,000, millions watching across the world, massive game, playing the Norwegians. So anyway, we come out. And it was one of them, I don't remember being nervous. I must have been, but I don't remember. So I used to want to stand next to one of my heroes. I was dead superstitious when I played. So I go out and Andy Townsend, captain, walks out in his Paddy bonnet. And then the two teams, they line up like the Champions League do now. So you've got Ireland team there, officials, Norwegian team, right? Norwegian national anthem goes on. So then the Irish national anthem starts, right? So we're all standing there. We kind of go on the side, like to face the flag. So you'd be like that, and then the flag would be there. So we'd go on the turn. So next thing, I'm on the half turn. So I've got like Andy Townsend, Paddy Bonnet, Steve Stone. I've got Aldo here. I've got Roy Keane there, right? So I'm standing there like that. So Andy Townsend, he just turns and he whispers something into Paddy Bonnet's ear, right? And then Paddy Bonnet then turns around. He whispers into Steve Stone's ear. And I'm thinking like, this is last minute instructions, you know, like from the captain, don't give the ball away, keep it tight for 20 minutes, don't do anything daft and all that kind of stuff. So I'm thinking, when it gets to me, just take the instructions and like listen, right? So it gets to Aldo. He's listening. Like, by the way, the national anthem's going on, right? Like down the line, you know, the like that, right? So you could just imagine it, because obviously I was there. So like next thing, like, but I can see Aldo like looking like that. So then he just goes to me after the hits instructions, he goes, row F, bed with the Viking, look at the size of a tits. He goes to me, pass it on. So I'm now like looking at that, like giving it one of them. Like, and I'm like, oh yeah, this girl's like big Viking hat on, like big pair of knocks, like standing there like that. Next thing I've turned like that on the R turn and it's right, and I've gone, oh my God, I've gone to Aldo, I can't tell him, he'll rip me head off. He went, just tell him. I went like that, I went, keep it tight, Roy. Don't give the ball away. Don't put it in the shoot. Pass it on. I proper shit myself.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Oh my God. But that was just like the team spirit and the camaraderie we had as a team. But but yeah, and then we draw the game and then we play Holland and unfortunately we get knocked out, we get beat 2-0 and then we come back. But mate, that 6 weeks was like, we went to Disney.
I've got it, yeah, Disney World.
Went to Disney World, water park, went to a water park. The whole Irish teams went to a water park.
Did Roy like the water park? Because he liked it or something?
Yeah, he loved the water park. Keen?
Roy? Yeah, I think he does like a water park. Yeah. I think he does.
You always say you were absolutely happiest you've ever seen him.
I've never seen him so happy. He took us to Portugal.
Was that not the one where Jack Chatler got like a Disney hat on?
Yeah, like the white,
like a Mickey Mouse hat on or something like that.
He had a yellow hat on, just to keep him and stuff. No, there was another one, what you might remember as well, is like one of the games, the camera, because it was, you know, it was just that hot. And Steve Stone, who's the palest man in the world, had obviously got himself burnt, hadn't he? So they were doing the national anthem for one of the games and the camera's coming down and all the players are like that, looking down the lens. And then it gets to him, doesn't it? And he's got the reddest face with this cap on, like this massive big cap on like that, to stop him from the sun. Join the national anthem as if that's going to save him. Like,
you've got to think you're still playing it.
Cap on, with just white like emulsion paint all over his face. Honest to God, it was just, they just made, like back then, 90, but they made it up as they went along. Sports science was just made up. It's like, they think it's going to help. They do it. But there was no like common sense to it, you know what I mean?
It's like, imagine like, captain's checking the plaque off that you got from the other country and Staunton's running over where he's at. Just same as that.
I remember Breeny taking us to Dublin. It must have been for a Christmas do. We've got the security from the Irish Heavies looked after us for years.
Tony Hickey.
Tony.
Yeah.
And was he right the way through? Is there a story was it the World Cup with a pool in the pool?
Me and Gary Kelly pushed the hotel's head of security in the pool and he couldn't swim. We nearly killed him. That was one thing. That's what I thought Jack was ringing me about that. We lashed him in. And you know when you're laughing your head off and you're thinking, he's drowning there. And like, his tree was dived
in. Oh, you went in after him?
One of them. Like,
in your pyjamas?
Like Baywatch. Two of us dived in. It's like, is he drowning? It's like, yeah. Yeah, but Tony was with us from the day I got there. He was there before then.
I bet he's got a few secrets, hasn't he? Looking after his life.
Tony's book would be sensational, but I don't think it would ever be written. But yeah, it was just the best. And it just, for me, it was another one of them where it propelled me onto another level. Because I come back from the World Cup and, you know, lots of Premier League, Premier League had started 92, lots of Premier League teams were looking at me then. And it was just, my confidence was just, I was just on this like, this curve like that. Yeah, this trajectory of just like that. And it was like, no one is better than me in this league. It's like, because in my head, it was like, none of these players in this league have been the World Cup. None of them have played against Italy. No one's been my Maldini. No one's not Meg Baggio.
Hi, Mum. She's in her T-shirt.
Right, honest to God. And, yeah, it was just poof, one of them. And then
Made you a better player? Sorry, just
yeah,
confidence, yeah, mentality.
So like, because I'm 24, I'm the fittest I've ever been. I'm now built, I'm strong, I'm ready to go. It's like I'm basically the perfect specimen.
No fear.
Yeah, I'm fit as, I'm up and down. But between the ears is where it all is, isn't it? It's like, and then all of a sudden in my head, I'm the best player ever.
Was there a bit of you as well, you know, all these trials that you went on that said you weren't big enough, weren't strong enough or whatever? Was a bit of you like, fuck you?
Yeah, my life, early life was full of knockbacks, yeah, like the trials and stuff. And it was hard to take, even Marine. I played for Marine Reserves. I played for the first team 5 times in 3 years. I only played for Rolly Howard 5 times. So I only played for the first team 5 times. My whole career was Marine Reserves.
So you weren't even playing in Marine's first team?
No. He took me once. He took me once to be kit man. Rolly Howard took me once to be kit man. I had to, you know, the tiniest dressing room in the world stinks. I had to pick up all the slips and all that little skids. He made me tidy everything up. He took me as kit man once.
Shows how fickle it is, isn't it? Because as soon as he gets wind of you,
oh, he's got a Bolton contract in front
there
of you.
There you go, Jason.
Yeah.
4 years later, you're not Megan Badger.
Very wrong, mate.
Is that not the World Cup where Roy Keane got sent home?
No, that's
the next one.
That's right. 8 years later.
Right.
You're learning now.
Nearly.
I'm not great with dates either.
I'm fucking dead, so they're a piece of paper in front of you.
Oh, aye.
So I got back from there and then, you know, we started the season and Bruce never played me. It was one of them like...
Was that Bruce again pulling you back?
Yeah, yeah. And I remember knocking on his door about 6 games in, fuming. And he went, I need you the end of the season. He said, you've played all the World Cup. You've had no summer off. He said, I need you at the end of the season when all the games are thick and fast and we're going. We need the points. He said, I need to... And he explained it to me then. But at the time...
Except...
I remember knocking on his door, right? And he went, come in. And I remember opening the door and he just looked at me like that. And he went, go away. And I went, but I want to go away. And he wouldn't speak to me. I go back out. I remember saying to Brownie and all that, how come I'm not playing? How come like I'm not involved? How come? And he's like, go and see the gaffer. Go in, go away. And then I went in one time, 6, 7 games, 8 games maybe. And then he told me. And then he went, you're playing Saturday. And then that was it. I was in the team then. And
had you been on the bench?
Yeah, I was on the bench, yeah.
Was there a bit you're not like, you know, when he's saying you're not going anywhere, was there not a thing in your head to go and see him and try and force a move somewhere? Because I'm assuming people would have been sniffing around you.
Yeah, they were. But where he was clever as well, my agent was his brother. And you know when you think back in your life?
Yeah.
So I've got like Real Madrid and Barcelona knocking on the door.
No one. Phone's not ringing.
I'm like, that's me, agent.
Phone's not ringing.
Like that. Nope. No, nope. This is the club view.
I think I go more down the sneaky route than clever.
Yeah. You look back and you go, that's why his brother was me agent. Yeah.
No, the phone's not ringing, Jason. Yeah. The phone's not ringing.
So obviously it was all kept in house, wasn't it? So, but we went really well in that league. In the championship that season, and then the cup run was
that must have been a big one for you, the Coca-Cola Cup against Liverpool.
I'd got to know, because I got back from the World Cup, and obviously then, you know, a bitty big bollock, so I'd started to go out, so I was going into Liverpool, because you find out like what girls are and all that, don't you? Yeah. Like, you know, you get a bit of, you're famous, aren't you? You know, you come back from the World Cup, you're famous. It's like, even though it was a Bolton, people knew who it was.
Could have met the most of it, didn't you?
Yeah.
Okay, I might imagine.
Okay, while the sun shines.
I got to know Jamie, Machen, Robbie, because I was going out in Liverpool, so I was bumping into them. And I was mates with Phil Babb, because he was then at Liverpool. I was with him at the World Cup. He was my best mate, still my best mate.
Like with Phil Babb, did you almost feel like you were, especially in Ireland, celebrity away from football? Young lad poster boys coming through.
We come back from the World Cup with Ireland, and so Ireland was an ageing team, 94. They had success from 90. So they needed that injection of youth. So it was all football's timing, isn't it? It's just timing, right place, right time, right situation. If you fit in, you fit in. Anyway, the three of us were this injection of youth. And of course, the younger population now who's engaged in this country's journey, you know, 90 had been so good. We'd got to 94, the whole country was just a party for 6 weeks. You know, all of a sudden, we're now attracting, we're not the housewives' favourite, we're the young kids' favourite. So, of course, you know, the girls and all that kind of stuff. So we come back from Ireland. Mate, I've never experienced anything like it in my life. We had a three-year spell probably with Ireland, where the three of us, we were nicknamed the Three Amigos. And we couldn't move. Tony Ickey had to take us out everywhere. We couldn't go shopping. We couldn't go out. We had girls waiting outside the hotel. We were getting sent knickers and all kinds. And, mate, we were mixing with pop stars and film stars and models. And it was just this life of, we'd come back and we were these superstars. We were superstars.
I tell you what is a shame. There's some poor fella who could be in the pub saying, that's my grandson. You know what I mean? He ain't a fucking clue, has he? He could have never had to buy a drink, could he?
Yeah.
Little Jason, yeah, it's my grandson. Never fucking idea who you are. Well, obviously, but...
When was it when Charlton pulled you in the tunnel? Had you just signed for Liverpool then? When did he get you by the throat? Or something in the tunnel? The Fanny Merchant?
Who?
Jack Charlton. Was it Charlton got hold of you?
I don't remember that now.
I must have read it somewhere. He called you a fanny, come here, you fanny merchant or something.
No, Bruce Rioch, he pinned me up against the wall. I was coming in. We half time. We coming. I was getting some stick from some. And I just turned around and went, "You fucking prick!" Some fella in the crowd, and he pinned me up against. He said, "You never talk to fans like that. You know, have some respect." Like I was like it was. He was like a life coach, Bruce.
Yeah.
He was tough as nails, but I learned quickly. I can't remember that with Jack. Oh, Jack, no. I tell you the time I had with Jack was I just got into the squad. This was before the World Cup. And I was playing. And I went inside. Instead of like going down the line or pumping it up the field. Because I'd gone from Liverpool where you cannot give the ball away. Ronnie Moran, you've got to keep the ball. But you cannot give it away. Right? It's like sacrilege. To Jack Charlton, who just wanted you to get it and just launch it as far as you could. And I'm like, well, I'm one of them. So, of course, I'm playing and I've gone inside. It's been cut out and they've gone on the attack and nearly scored. So we get back to the hotel and, of course, I'm putting my dancing gear on because it was straight back the hotel and then it was out. So I'm getting ready and all that. And we used to have all our gear ironed and everything. So I'm getting the phone goes. And it was like, Jack, come and see me before you go out. So I went straight down to his room and he just said to me, if you ever play a ball inside like that again. He said, you'll never play for me ever again, ever. And I proper shit myself. I proper thought, whoa, like that was, I proper got told off.
Yeah.
And he was like, he loved the, like me, Gary and Phil. He really loved us. And he had a bit of a soft spot for me, Jack. I don't know why, he just did. I just felt like a real bond with him. I was really close to him. And then he told me off. You know, like your dad tells you off and you think, when you know, when your dad speaks, and it's one of them. He means
stop
it.
And listen.
Yeah, it was one of them. And I never went inside ever again. Fuck that. Yeah.
So the Liverpool game, it was kind of bittersweet, really, because you get to a cup final and you end up playing Liverpool. I mean, we were a championship team. Getting to the League Cup final was brilliant. But then for me, you know, I was playing against some of my mates, but I'm playing against my club. And it's kind of everyone billed it as a trial. Like, this is his trial game. You know, it's Wembley, old Wembley as well. It was just, like, amazing.
Old family.
Oh yeah, it was full on. Everyone went down. My mum like got all her mates down there, big mini bus, and all that. The batteries and tickets. Yeah, he was there. Yeah. And it was, you know, it was tough really to play against them, but we played really, really well, and we got done 2-1. I played okay, played well, and then. And then we were, League Cup's a nightmare, innit? League Cup final, because it's right smack back end of the business, end of the season. If you're going for a promotion or playoffs, you're straight back into it. There's no, like, you lose the game. You've got a game on the weekend that you've got to win. And it was like that for us. So it was quickly put to bed. We went on a really good run that got us into the playoffs. And then we ended up back at Wembley against Reading, which it doesn't get spoke about really, but I think it's one of the all-time greatest.
Yeah.
Playoff games. I mean, the Sunderland game gets a big mention. Mickey Gray's penalty missed that one, and there was a couple of others. I think West Ham was one against someone, but ours doesn't really get a mention. But it was an unbelievable game.
4-3,
2-0 down.
Did you give the penalty away?
Yeah, I was just about to come to that. Give a penalty away.
Yeah, I'm doing your research, aren't you?
David Lee's fault. In fact, it was. I'd say whose fault it was. Scott Brown's. Scott Green gave the ball away, and I've ended up bringing the player down, and it was 3-0, it was all over. But Keith Brannigan saves the penalty. We end up getting right back into the game, and then I went on a mazy and set one of them up. We went 4-2, and then it went 4-3.
Yeah.
And then we'd been promoted to the Premier League, which was like, you know, to go back to Wembley was brilliant. Mm. But to win in this circumstance is a completely different feeling. And old Wembley was oh, amazing. Amazing. I mean, I've been to the new one. It doesn't compare.
Was there any inclination that Rioch was going to leave?
No.
So was that just out the blue, massively?
It was out the blue, yeah. It was completely out the blue. But Arsenal, you know, it was one of them. You couldn't turn it down. Do you know what I mean? It was, I don't know what was going on behind the scenes, but we never felt he was going to go at the end of the season. Whether we'd gone up or not, you know, we thought we were all just going to kick on. For me, it was a different experience because myself and Alan Stubbs were making the headlines. We, you know, as much as we were making the headlines, I'm still new. This is Bolton's my first club. I don't know how it works. I don't know how you get a move. I don't know. My agent obviously kept a lot away from me.
Still not ringing, Jason.
Yeah, so I'm like, you know, it's just I'm reading the headlines, obviously, but I don't know what goes on and I don't know what happened. And then Bruce leaves, and then it was like,
did anything change with his brother?
The phone started ringing
after he left. Yeah, no. Did the phone start ringing?
Well, no, because Roy McFarlane come in as joint manager with Colin Todd, which never works, right? I've had two lots of it, and it just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. And then Roy McFarlane turned around to me and Stubbsy, right? And he went, "You two aren't going anywhere. Do not think like you're going to leave because Bruce has gone. Like, that's it. You're here. You know, Bruce." Premier League, we're up, we're going, and that's it, you two are staying. So we're like that, right? So next one, we had the game on the Saturday, and I remember it was like match of the day or something, and me and Stubbsy doing the interview, and the lad goes, so, you know, is anything going to happen shortly? And I remember Stubbsy going, watch this space, like that, right? And I'm like,
fucking hell, Al.
Oh, yeah, one of them. It's like, whoa. Like, it just kept me mouth shut. I mean, you both had transfers, right? Did they come out the blue, or did you... Do you feel they come out the blue, or did you know?
I think you've got half an idea a week before.
Okay.
I would say.
Mine come right out the blue. I'm driving in with Stubbsy, and our agent Bruce's brother. Bruce's brother. How mad that phone rings. Bruce's brother. I haven't spoken to him for 3 years. He comes on the phone, stops, he takes a phone call. And he literally, like, we were on the way to Bolton, we were getting near Bolton. And he literally hand-braked the car round. And I'm like, what's happened? And he's like, they've agreed £9 million for me and you. I'm like, who? He's like, Blackburn Rovers. When Kenny Dalglish has bid £9 million for me and you, and we've got to go for talks on the East Lancs Road in a hotel. So I'm like...
Now. Are you going there now?
Yeah, it's like now. You turn the car around, you come back now.
Very out of the blue.
It was out of the blue. I'm like, I'm going into training. I'm like, okay. And you just on this like £9 million. It's obviously £8 million for me and £1 million for stuff. So we drive up the East Lancs Road and we meet Ian Rioch, Bruce's brother. And he's like, right, this has happened. It's like they bid £9 million and we're going to the ADOC Thistle to meet Kenny and Ray Harford. And I'm like, well, like, yeah, but like, so what? And he goes, well, we have talks and stuff and we see what we want to do. So I'm like, okay. In my head, I'm thinking, Kenny's my hero. I'm like, photo? I'm like, brilliant.
Get the Nokia out.
Yeah. So we get to the hotel and then the two of us sitting in and then Kenny comes into the reception and we're sitting there and he goes, right, I've got a room around the corner. Do you want to come in? So I'm first. So I go in. So I'm sitting there and Kenny's like selling me like Blackburn Rovers just won the league and all that. And it's like, you know, I want you to play in the middle, Tim Sherwood, and, you know, Stubbs is going to play at the back and this is what we want to do. And, you know, we've got this going on and got this going on and, you know, it'll be really, really good. And like halfway through the meeting, my agent's phone goes off. He literally picks the phone up and he's like that. And he goes, Kenny, can I just take this call? I need to take this call. Can I go out? So he goes out the room and I'm left with Kenny and Ray Harford like in this kind of situation like this. I'm like, all right. It's like, how do I ask him for his autograph? It's like, would you sign this? So he comes back in and he goes, he literally's like standing and he goes, I've had Bolton on the call and Liverpool have agreed £4.5 million for Jason. They don't want Stubbsy. Can we go and speak to Liverpool before we make our mind up? And Kenny just goes, no. He said, the deal's off. If you leave now, the deal's off. You know, it's both ears now or no one. So now I'm left with like, what do we do here? So I've got Liverpool, who's like my club. I've got Kenny, who's my hero. And I'm like torn between and Stubbsy's
like, what's going on?
Yeah.
His hands in his pocket.
After three, Stubbsy was at the bottom of the list, to be honest. So he goes, well, go and think about it. So I go outside and I said to Stubbsy, I went, Stubbsy, you know, like Liverpool have been on the phone. And he went, listen, if it was Everton, I know you'd do the same for me. I'm thinking, what the fuck? So he goes, go and talk to Liverpool. And it was kind of one of them bluff moments. It was like show your hand kind of thing. So he goes back in and he goes, we're going to go and speak to Liverpool. And he went, okay, deal's off. Never even spoke to Stubbsy. So then two leave. So Stubbsy gets in his car, drives home. Ian Rioch takes me to Anfield. So I go to Anfield. So I think we went for something to eat. We had something to eat first because we went to Anfield like later on that night.
I'm just thinking, poor Stubbsy.
Yeah.
No. Just driving home.
Missus, you never guess what's happened. That cunt's going to fucking Liverpool. I'm
not
bad. Bolton.
So close. So, and do you know what that made me laugh? Like, I think back to it now, it always makes me laugh. It's like, so Liverpool, who I would have played for nothing, right? I've put all the floodlights on, right? I'm meeting them at the ground in the box. They put all the floodlights on trying to sell me the club, right? As if, like, sell me Anfield. It's like, fuck. So I walk in. And it's like steeped, like Anfield, you've got corridors, the old main stand, steeped in history. And it's like the photographs. I'm like, never been in this part of the... I just couldn't believe what was going on. So like now I'm like into like the boardroom of Anfield. Roy Evans is in there. Peter Robinson's in there. Me and my agent. So we're talking away. Evo's trying to sell me the club. Like I'm putting this young team together. It's like, I'm looking out the window. It's floodlights are on the pitch and all. It's like Anfield. So he goes, you know, this is what we want to do and we've got this. And like, so then they go, I go, okay. So next thing is, we want to talk about money and wages and stuff. And I just went, listen, it's got nothing to do with me. Like, can I go out and look at all the pictures and the trophies and all that? Like, and they were like, yeah. And I just went to Ian Rioch. I went, don't mess it up. Like, and he went, okay. And
what was that decision? Did you just feel more comfortable not being involved?
There was that, and I didn't care how much I was signing for.
Yeah, so you'd rather not be a part of it?
Just rather not be a part of it. He could have come out and gone at 250 quid a week. I would have gone, all right. It was done. Like, I was never, ever not signing for Liverpool.
And had you got onto numbers at Blackburn?
No. Right, so not even discussed it.
But it didn't matter.
Didn't matter.
Poor Stubbsy, man. So they put a young team together, Alan, and you're not part of it. They just want me. Bye.
Mate, the two awkward phone calls was what I'm going to tell you now. So obviously I've gone back in, been called back in, and basically it was a structured, like all the young kids, it was like Rob Jones, Phil Babb, Jamie, Macker and Robbie were on, how mad's this? Macker and Robbie were on less because they'd come through like the School of Excellence. Mm. So they were on less. They were the star players and they were on less.
Yeah.
I was on more than Barnsley. This structured for these bunch of kids. So it was like Rob Jones, Babsy, me, Jamie, JMO. We were all on the same money. So it was like 15 grand a week. So I'd gone from two grand to 15 grand, but I would have signed for 250 quid.
It's like, first thing I'm going to a fucking Lotus garage.
By an Aga.
Fuck you, Bruce.
Like that to Bruce. So I've agreed to sign for Liverpool. So I'm in the car. Ian Rioch says, you're going to have to ring Kenny. God, shit. So he goes, I say what? He said, well, you just got to tell him you're going to sign for Liverpool and thanks for the opportunity. I went, all right, yeah. So anyway, puts him on the phone. Could hear him, right? This is about like 9 o'clock at night. So, hi, Kenny. It's Jason on the phone. So he goes, you made your mind up? I've gone, yeah, I'm going to sign for Liverpool. He goes, okay, no worries. He said, listen, enjoy playing at Hague Avenue. So I went, yeah, okay, Kenny, thanks, yeah. So I put the phone down. So my agent goes, what did he say? I said, he said something about enjoy playing at Hague Avenue. I went, who plays at Hague Avenue? And he went, Southport and Liverpool reserves. I've gone, okay.
Cutting that, Kenny. Cutting.
A bit of that, yeah. Mate.
Cutting.
He didn't speak to me for years, Kenny.
In all seriousness, did that hurt a bit, that?
I killed him, yeah. Yeah. And I was gutted because, you know, it's Kenny. It's my hero. It's like, you know, I want to be a footballer because Kenny was number 7 in the playground, you know what I mean? Scoring winners in the FA Cup final in the park is Kenny Dalglish. And I've like let my hero down, and he's got not nasty with me, but he's got like funny with me.
Yeah.
And then years, I've bumped into him with the years, and he would kind of just let on, and he was never like...
Did you learn from your mistakes when you were coming on for Houghton? Did you not lead with a stiff?
Kenny's pied us again.
So then we had to tell Stubbsy. So then
fucking Stubbsy. Stubbsy.
Yeah. And then the next day, I'm in the house, right? I'm in the house, and the phone goes, and it's Bruce. And Bruce went, I believe you're going to sign for Liverpool. And he went, yeah. He said, listen, I want to fly you and your mum down to London. He went, come and have talks before you sign for them. Come and have talks and sign for Arsenal. So, and this is, so I know you're going to laugh at this, right? He went, I've got a shortlist, 3 players. He's gone, I want to sign 3 players. And I went, who's the 3? This is the only time these 3 names will ever be in the same sentence, right? He went, I want Roberto Carlos, Dennis Bergkamp, and you.
What about Stubbsy? Any chance you just sneak Stubbsy at bottom of the list?
Yeah. Do you not fancy Stubbsy? Like, 4.5 mil. So I've gone, I can't. I said, there's no point. I said, you're wasting 2 flights. I love the way he tried to get my mum to come as well. As if he was going to get her in as well. Like, my mum's going to go, oh, I love Bruce, sign for Arsenal. So I said, I can't. I said, it's my club. I've got to sign for Liverpool. I'd never, it's the only chance we're going to get.
Yeah.
So I signed for Liverpool. So the next day, I go in, and they're away playing Vladi Kavkaz in the Cup Winners' Cup or something, right, in Europe. And they've flown by Aeroflot. Aeroflot at the time had the worst aviation safety record in history, right? I'm actually now thinking, right, they ain't coming home, and I'm going to be captain. I'm going to be on free kicks, corners. They're going to throw the team at me. Just sign me in. The team ain't coming back.
I'll be able to sign Stubbsy.
Yeah. Stubbsy can come as well. So,
the team around Stubbsy.
Mate, I swear to God, right. And this is the other mad thing, which I'm going to tell you now, right, which ties into it, and it goes right back to when I was 15, right? So when my mum said to me, listen, she sits me down and goes, listen, you've had trials, it's not happening. What are you going to do? You're going to have to go to college or something like that. And I said, and this is the God's honest truth, I'm not making this up, right? I said, I'm going to do one last thing. And she went, what is it? And I went, I'm going to write, Jim will fix it, right? And ask for a trial for Liverpool. Right, I'm going to ask for a trial for Liverpool. And I wrote to Jimmy Savile and said, could you fix it for me to get a trial? I was 15, 16.
I bet you're fucking glad he didn't.
You look back to one of them and you look back and think,
I'm going to
that never happened.
Dodged the bullet there.
I mean, yeah. I mean, there's one thing blindfolded milking a cow, isn't it? But it's another thing asking for a trial. And, you know, I did. I asked Jim O'Fix if asking for a trial. Anyway, I had to get there on my own, didn't I? And I've signed for Liverpool. So they're away. And they were away for 2 days. Mate, I've sat in that dressing room. So I got there early. You know, dead keen, aren't you? So I've gone in the dressing room the day they're coming back to training because they had the next day off. So it must have been like they played Tuesday, signed the Monday. They played the Tuesday, we were away, off the Wednesday. So I'm off the Wednesday. So we all start on the Thursday. So I'm in the dressing room like 8:30 in the morning, like one of them, like with my kit on and that, waiting to go. And then like Barnsley comes in. It was like Jim had fixed it. It was, I swear to God, it was that moment. It was like Rushy comes in.
Cheers, Jim.
I'm like, fucking hell, dear Rush.
Should have given Barnes. Should have given Stubbs his number, he might have been able to. Yeah.
So, like, all these Liverpool players walking.
Dear Jim, any Stubbs. Chance you can get in contact with Kay Dalglish and get me a move to Blackburn? Thanks. Best wishes, Alan.
Sorry, Stubbs. From Alan. From Kirby, Liverpool.
Alan.
Dear Jim.
They're not going to take you, Alan, but I've got Jimmy's number.
It was like surreal.
Poor Stubbsy.
Poor Stubbsy.
I'd like to think.
Stubbsy, man.
To Stubbsy.
To Stubbsy, everybody.
God Jesus. Bless you, Alan. You did all right at End Celtic.
Thankfully, though. It could have gone either way.
I tell you what, I'd like to go to fucking war with Jason, would you? Jesus Christ. Where's your mate? Ah, oh, fuck him.
What are you doing? Me and you signed for a team, but another team only wants you. What are we doing?
You know exactly what he's doing.
It was a loaded question.
You're exactly the same as fucking Jason. That's what I'm doing. Would you take me or would you leave
me? I'd have stayed.
God.
I think you loyal would Chris to call me. Yeah.
Oh, why? That's fucking hell.
That's Gaffer women in Sunderland.
I would say loyalties. No.
Good episode.
Good start.
Very good.
Hope everybody enjoyed it.
We haven't even touched Liverpool yet.
No. Some crackers in part two. We've got all Liverpool, Spice Boys, Roy Keane, Ireland.
Ireland stuff.
Bit spoiler alert as well. For part two, can I give spoilers away?
You can do what you want, Chris.
Confirmation that Roy Keane loves a water park.
Yes.
That's not too much of a spoiler, is it?
Well, I think
is it enough to entice people into watch?
I think we all knew it anyway, didn't we?
I think, I don't know when I said it, but even talking about it now, even though it was that long ago, it's still class, isn't it? That fallout.
Yeah.
The Keane McCarthy.
I think what it is, like the magnitude of where they were.
Mm. When you think about it,
they were at the fucking World Cup. Mm.
You know, like, and he's the main man.
Surely you think, like, just bite your tongue for another couple of weeks.
To leave a World Cup, like every young boy's dream, he wants to play football, to leave. But yeah, that's part two. We'll talk about that next week.
Yeah.
Just before we move on to anything else, though, I think we're maturing, aren't we? As a group.
As people.
As individuals. Last night, we're in Swansea as we speak. And what would we have done back in the day? Getting a new
probably,
city.
Probably before my diet started.
Bags on bed.
Out.
Shower. Quick shower, lads. Taxi's booked. I found a pub 10 minutes away.
Yeah. I got there a bit later. Opened the door. John's head pops around from the kitchen. The aromas.
Well, there weren't much aroma
fish.
No, there weren't much aroma from a tuna wrap.
So me and Johnny went to Morrison's, and he's picked up a couple of things, and I just, because we had a big dinner, we'll probably come to that.
Oh, we will.
But I said, do you know what I fancy? A tuna wrap. And he just, click of the fingers, and he just took off. I followed him, just chucking these ingredients in. We had the red onion, we had the sweet corn, the light mayonnaise, four tins of tuna in brine.
Four tins of tuna we chucked into...
Eight wraps.
I did see what were going eight on. Wraps. I did think the ratio of tuna to wrap was...
Well, we had three wraps. We had three wraps.
It looked more like a burrito than a wrap.
it was filled.
So I left. I had two wraps. But back in the day, we'd have been straight in the pub and a kebab up my own, wouldn't we?
We were all in bed for 9:30. Mm-hmm. Tucked up.
No. And then this morning, it took it to a new level. We've got...
3 meals on the go.
Goat's doing his porridge with banana and honey. I've got 3 kippers and 2 smoked mackerel under grill. And Baldy's doing a...
what is it called? There's a name for it.
Treats or eggs.
I thought...
it's a Chris Brenner original, this.
Is it? You won't see it in any cafe.
You won't find this in any restaurant.
I couldn't believe it.
So it's frying chorizo off with scrambled egg, spinach... Some cheese cream.
Yeah, I've got some goat's cheese.
The goat's cheese. I sampled all 3 meals. Got the goat. We're getting made.
a bit of fish.
You were buffet this morning. Breakfast buffet.
But the cheese just made it.
Yeah.
Did you just make that yourself?
It's a Chris Brenner original.
Beauty.
Just short of a bit of seasoning. But we were saying we used to bring a crate of cans with us. We're gonna have to swap that for a spice rack.
So after last week's spag ball / lasagna, we're turning into
we're going to be opening a restaurant, I tell you, by the end of this series.
That is a good point, though. We're not going to bring that extension cable anymore, Matty. We're bringing
salt.
Cumin. That's what we're bringing, cumin. Is that how you pronounce it?
I won't put it on my kippers. we need a first aid kit.
Yeah.
But a snap wagon. So we need salt, pepper,
Chili flakes.
You're big on chili flakes.
I am, yeah.
Basil, thyme, oregano.
Oregano. And then what we're going to do, we're going to fold it all up and make it into a swan.
He's doing his hands again. We are. Do you know what? I was proud.
Yeah.
This morning, after last night, we had an early night.
Yeah.
Big day to day.
So back in the day, because you drove yesterday. By the way, we went for the most outrageous meal. I say outrageous. We went for a Toby Carvery.
Yeah, I've seen the pictures.
And I have never seen anything. In fact, it was probably the 8th wonder of the world. As big a carvery in my life.
Because we've mentioned it, but how much you eat is...
Disgrace.
Yeah.
It was good because I've kind of, since Christmas, I've tried to lose a bit of timber and stuff, but it's nice to know you've still got it.
You still put it all away.
Yeah.
So there's a photo.
There's a photo before, after and during.
I've got to say, though, it was a sausage too many.
You ate it, though, didn't you?
Did you get that after picture?
So this is where I've changed my life. So we had the big platter at the Toby. So you get more meat. You can have 2 Yorkshire puddings. I only had 1. You get 2 sausages. I said, put them on big dog plate.
4? Fuck off, you didn't have 4 sausages.
I took 4 down. I did. They weren't the best, actually.
Toby.
Yeah, sod Toby.
But this is the bit that really got me. So it's gone pork, gammon and beef. So the gadgets cut the pork, cut the gammon. So he's got, obviously, them... Comes to cutting his beef, he went, could you put plenty of beef on, mate, please? Does anybody ask that at all?
Do you know what, Chris? I've done a lot of daft things in my time and I've upset John a few times in my life. I've never seen him so disgusted in my actions.
What, like embarrassed?
Yeah.
Well,
was that the word,
you're
embarrassed?
Regular.
This Toby Carvery's in Barnsley. You know, people know who I am. He's already got his gammon and his pork. They're already boxed off. And the cheeky bastard wanting 1 more slice of beef. He's got 4 sausages on there.
And it were 1 slice too many.
So I've moved down to the veg.
Fucking
And
hell.
I've heard him go, just shove them scraps on there, mate. Will you? I thought that's got to be against the rules. Surely, if I'm out of order, that's...
So you know when your scraps, like, obviously he's cut the...
Fat.
No.
Nah, they get some goodness there.
Yeah. No, not the fat. You know when he cuts off the main joint, but there's bits drop off?
Yeah.
from the last joint. I said, put them scraps on there, Bigham.
We were a well-oiled machine, so we both on the same page. Mine was up here. Get through half of it, reload on the gravy and condiments.
What sauces are you going with?
Mint.
Horseradish, and then I treated myself for a bit of cranberry.
Why is it cranberry?
I just didn't have it at the first half.
It couldn't fit the fucker on. He'd been walking back to the table and his nose would have been in cranberry.
Do you know, I actually said to him, I'm actually embarrassed that you're walking back. It's like a walk of shame, isn't it?
Look at him.
Because if you see somebody with a belt, you go, he's getting his money's worth.
Do you know what? I don't think I've ever been to a Tony Carberry.
Tony Carberry. B.
I don't think I have.
Tony Carberry.
Tell you what it is.
That's fucking dumb, mate.
So basically, Toby Carberry.
Tony Carberry.
Hey, we've got a bit of an announcement. What are you chuckling?
He's agreed to come. That's what we've got.
I'm done, man.
So this series, on top of the regular releases, every Friday, we're going to have we wanted a Tuesday release, but we can't get them out by Tuesday, so we're going to be Tuesday Club, but no, Friday, because we only like Tuesday Club, John. We're going to have Friday Club.
So we are releasing an extra episode every Friday, aren't we? But it's not going to be
special or not.
It's not going to be football. Well, it's not just going to be football, is it? It's going to be
bit of everything, huh?
Yeah.
Because we do get some people saying, oh, it's not enough when you're next releasing and a week's too long, so...
We might as well, because we've done some Patreon bonuses, what people...
They're my favourite ones, you know.
Yeah.
Them ones...
We're still doing Patreon bonuses as well. I know we mentioned Patreon before, the link's in the description. If you can join the Patreon, if you would, that would be fantastic, because it does, like we said at the beginning of the episode, help us very, very
much. Cup of coffee a month.
Yeah.
Because it's a bit like therapy, isn't it? You know, you have a bit...
Stressful. Get things off your chest. So Friday Club,
glass of wine,
have a drink and get things off your chest, John.
I'd say it would be good. What would be good for people who are listening? So obviously we release it Monday. We release Friday. You can listen to it on the coach going to your away games on a Saturday.
Yeah.
I'm not obviously trying to tell you when to listen, but...
Make sure you listen individually. Don't put it on the big speaker at the front, because we'll miss out on the...
Listens. The numbers. The numbers will be down.
Don't connect your Bluetooth or out. That's forbidden.
Remember the sticker I got the other week about my black tracksuit?
I know. It's not even a matching tracksuit. I saw that earlier.
Oh, comfort.
That is outrageous.
Did you wear that last week? You wore that for a podcast lately.
This? I wear it regular. See, I'm at the point now where I don't want to buy any more clothes.
Why? Because you're on the descent.
I'm on the descent, so I've got a black tie dinner on.
You're not winning that, surely.
I'm just going to put a tie on. I've got a black tie dinner on Friday, and I've got fuck all to wear. I ain't got a black suit that fits us.
So what, you're going baggy? Baggy's in.
Baggy's back in.
Yeah.
That's a subject for one of our things.
Yeah, that's a subject
for
Friday, that.
Yeah. But this is...
fashion advice.
Sex advice. Always sex advice.
Oh, aye. It was always sex advice.
Food, tips, hints. Actually, we'd like to hear from the viewers, you know, anything that... Our listeners, anything that you'd like us to cover, any advice that you'd like.
What we could do... Oh, it's audio only. I was going to say best meal. Take a picture of your best meal. Ingredients.
We don't actually
I've got a lot of
do.
Hidden gems in my...
You know mine.
Chive. That was the other ingredients in my eggs.
Fried onions. Gravy. Corned beef. Baked beans. Wallop.
So,
right.
Thank you for listening once again and watching. And
if you could sign up to that Patreon.
Part 2 coming next week. And the bonus episode on Friday. It's not a bonus episode. It's an episode.
So he sounds like a geography teacher, doesn't he, Tony Carberry?
Tony Carberry.
Double session with Tony Carberry.
Right, we'll see you fucking Monday, Tuesday or Thursday, Friday, whenever we're back on.
Well, thanks for listening, as always. Thanks for watching.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.